Joining me via telephone tonight is the Texas singer-songwriter who has self-released 3 albums, and her soulful singing is a true Texas treasure. She's currently on the road with a stop Saturday in Winnsboro at Crossroads Music Company, and it's great to welcome to Notably Texan for the first time, Emily Elbert. Thanks a lot for talking to me tonight.
Hey, thanks, Matt. I'm glad to get to talk to you.
It's a pleasure, and Emily's music is heard often here on the program. We're going to delve into some cuts from her albums Proof and Alive in Love in just a little bit here. But Emily, let's kind of kick things off, if you don't mind, with a little bit of information about your background for folks who have not studied your biography as I have. But, I think you're from my hometown of Dallas, aren't you?
That's right. Yeah, I grew up in Dallas, and then my family and I grew up in Dallas and then Coppell, which is close to DFW Airport.
Right.
I went to high school out there and started playing guitar and singing when I was about 14 and was pretty instantly hooked. And
that's how it works for a lot of folks that get into
music. Yeah, that was pretty much it.
And you never looked back, did you?
Not really. Yeah, I think I started because I wanted to be Jimi Hendrix, and then I realized it wasn't going to work out pretty early on, but I haven't stopped trying.
Well, you can be like Jimi Hendrix in some respects anyway. But I can understand you wanting to idolize him, an amazing guitar player, of course.
Yeah, fabulous. And then I went to school to Berklee College of Music in Boston.
Right.
And since then, I've mostly just been kind of nomading around, loosely based out of New York or Texas or California or wherever, but mostly on the road and, you know, putting some CDs out there and
absolutely
coming back to Texas when I can.
Well, that's great. We love it when you come back home.
Now, me too. I love it.
I understand you grew up with quite a bit of exposure to music in your younger years, right?
I did. My dad is a pianist and my grandmother's a piano teacher, and it was definitely a part of my family and a part of my upbringing, and I'm really grateful for, you know, having that be a part of my life and getting to be exposed to different styles of music and, you know, just kind of turn my ears on at an early age.
Sure. Now, you know, we're going to play some of your tunes here in a little bit, but you obviously had some eclectic music that you were kind of growing up listening to, I would assume, anyway, at least based from what you record these days.
Well, you know, I was trying to keep exploring, but my dad turned me on early on to, you know, a lot of jazz and classical music and Brazilian stuff as well.
Oh, nice.
He loves jazz and classical and like smart pop, you know, Steely Dan stuff, but he has some pretty eclectic taste too. And then my mom was into, you know, James Taylor, Paul Simon, Joni Mitchell. And
okay.
So all those things, I was pretty obsessed with oldies radio when I was a kid too. So all those
nice
things kind of worked in there.
Well, let me ask you, did you mess around with music when you were still in high school? Did you have any bands or anything like that?
I think music was always kind of a solitary thing for me, largely because I was super shy with it.
Gotcha.
Because it's so personal. But when I realized I wanted to go to music school and there wasn't financially a way for me to make it happen, that's kind of what put the fire into my heels. And I pretty much immediately started gigging, played enough gigs to make my first CD, and then kept playing and selling those CDs until I could afford to go to their big summer camp. And
yeah.
So I started gigging pretty fervently throughout high school.
Gotcha. Okay.
But really, I was just kind of on fire with writing and playing and stuff.
You set out early on, you knew that you wanted to go and study at the specific college in Boston.
Mm-hmm.
How did all that come about? I know that you had kind of an exciting thing that allowed you to go to school there in Boston.
I'm really thankful for their scholarship program because they're really great about that, and I would have had certainly no way to go otherwise. It ended up that I was playing so much, you know, throughout school. I was still on the road, and I was doing about 100 shows a year while I was at Berklee, but they were really encouraging and supportive, and we were able to work out a program where I could both tour and be a student.
Nice.
And, you know, do my work from the road and work with my teachers. And so it was kind of a customized curriculum, but I got to take a lot of great classes, a lot of percussion and language, and really, you know, took a really great class with Livingston Taylor on performance and just all kinds of a pretty diverse curriculum.
What did your major end up being there?
Well, it was called Artist Diploma, but that was just kind of the name for the
customized gotcha
thing.
I'm always curious. You know, I probably wouldn't have heard of half of the majors that come out of a music college like that, so I just was curious, you know?
Yeah, well, they've got, I mean, you know, they have film composition and music production and business and all kinds of stuff, but mine was kind of a mixture. Ready in the summertime.
Emily Elbert is talking with me tonight on 88.9 KETR's Notably Texan. So you emerged with this degree from Berklee College of Music and really just kind of, I was going to say hit the road running, but you stayed on the road running, as it turns out, with record releases and near constant touring. And you independently released your debut album, Bright Side, in 2006, followed by Proof in 2010. I was hoping you could talk about the reasons you have chosen to remain independent, kind of opting not to go with record label support.
There's a lot of different things that go into that. You know, so often at performances or, you know, online, people say, you got to do American Idol. That's still, I guess, a viable option for a lot of kinds of artists. And I've had great friends that have gone like the major label or reality show route, and some of them have had good experiences. But for me, it's just so important that I get to make the music that's in my heart and that I get to do it in a way that I feel like remains in integrity with the vision and with the artistry of it. It is definitely a full-time job trying to maintain all of the tour booking and the logistical side of things. But until, you know, I do hope to find the right team as far as management and representation. But until then, I just am chipping away at it on my own because I'm too hungry for getting it out there and being able to share music with people and make that connection. And I love the direct relationship that independence offers musicians, because this way I can come to Winsboro and I can, you know, I can play a place like Crossroads, and it really helps to strengthen that bond between the people I can share my music with and myself. So
no,
it's
absolutely
really special to me.
No, I can totally understand why you would want to do that. I talk to so many artists that choose to remain independent, and, mm-hmm. and I've talked to artists that have kind of seen both sides of that, too. You know, you
yeah.
mentioned the whole reality show thing. We've got an artist in this area. Who knows? You might have heard of this guy, Cass Haley, before.
Yeah, he's a friend.
Okay.
I think very highly of Cass.
So you obviously know his story, though, about how he went mm-hmm. on America's Got Talent and sort of got roped into a record deal that wasn't that comfortable for him. So, you know,
right.
there are definitely pluses and negatives to both sides of independently producing or having a label behind you. So my hat's off to you for keeping it real, though, you know.
Well, thanks. Maybe sometime I'll find a happy medium. But
sure.
Right now, you know, I'm just going to keep working at it.
Hey, it's obviously things are seem to be working pretty well for you. Now, I know that this is kind of a bad word, but how would you classify your recordings? What sort of music do you make? I don't know if that makes you uncomfortable to have to just put yourself into one genre or not. But
No, it's, I mean, one, I might be challenged to, but, you know, I think the main components draw a lot from soul, folk, and jazz. If I'm allowed to hyphenate,
of course,
make two words one.
Of course you are.
So if I can go soul, folk, jazz, I'll do that.
Nice. But, okay.
You know, with some other stuff thrown in there.
Yeah, I can hear a lot of influences. In fact, it seems like every time I play a different cut from one of your albums, it's like, wow, you know, there's just something else kind of melded in there, which is great. I appreciate that on an eclectic program
you.
Such as this one. So
yeah, I love that about your program too. But I love, you know, I love throwing in. Love African music, South American music, and blues, and rock, and classical, all kinds of stuff. So, you know, that's the cool part about living in, you know, an era like today, is that we have access to such a huge breadth of music, and we've always got a library at our fingertips, so we can kind of soak it all in and put it out through our own filter.
It is exciting times that we're living in these days. Emily, let's check out some of your music now. I've got your tune Thinking Hybrid Redirected queued up. This is from the 2010 release Proof. Mm-hmm. What can you tell me about that tune?
Well, that's a song that I wrote when I was a senior in high school, and
oh, really?
I was feeling the kind of common complex of senioritis when you're feeling like you're ready to be completely independent and you know, carve your own path. But at the same time, I experienced like a wake-up call of gratitude, really, where I was reminding myself to be grateful for what I had at home and what I was about to experience. So it's kind of a manifestation of an attempt at self-improvement.
Okay.
yeah.
Well, it's a really fun song to listen to, and I appreciate your insights
you.
On that. Let's check out music by my guest Emily Elbert on the tune Thinking Hybrid Redirected, and I'm going to follow that up with Visitor from the Alive in Love album. You're listening to Notably Texan on 88.9 KETR.
Well, it's just more of the same changes. Headphones can only take me so far away. This is the point where I reassess.
This is Notably Texan on 88.9 KETR, and Emily joins me via telephone tonight. Now, we just heard that tune, Visitor, which opens up the release Alive in Love.
Yeah, that was recorded in the basement studio of the drummer of a friend of mine in Boston.
Nice. Well, that's really great stuff on there.
I'm
a little late to the game on listening to that release. It came out a couple of years ago, but I'm loving what I am hearing on Alive in Love so far.
Thanks.
And going back to the album Proof, which I have a hard time keeping it out of our CD player up here, so
no problem there.
I know, no, that's a good thing. But going back to the album Proof, I think you recruited kind of an international cast of players for that record, didn't you?
Yeah, well, and one of the great things about Berkeley is that it's hugely international, and so I got to kind of draw from that well when I was putting together the band for that record. And at that time, too, I still don't really have one solid, consistent band.
But, okay.
You know, I love so many different musicians, and so for that one, I kind of pulled a bunch of my different friends. There's three or four drummers and three or four different bass players, and then some different auxiliary instruments, percussion, mandolin, cello, piano. And yeah, they came from Japan, Mexico, India, Brazil, from the U.S. My dad plays piano on it.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah, all kinds of different places. Israel. Yeah.
I find it to be a wildly eclectic album, as kind of the players would imply it is. You know, you go from track to track on that, and it's, to me, that's a delight to be able to hear all these different sounds, all these different inspirations that go into your music.
Thank you.
It's a lot of fun to check out your stuff. You've been talking about some of these instruments. I wanted to talk about some of the instrumentation that's heard on your albums because, you know, if I get a record in and I haven't listened to it yet, if I open it up and look in the liner notes, as I did with one of yours, and I see mandolin and fiddle, my first thought is, of course, well, this is a straight-ahead country release. But but you managed to take these instruments and make some beautiful sounds with all these eclectic influences that come together and kind of make your own little stew. Talk about that. I mean, is that something that you let your players kind of figure out what would sound best there? Or do you say, wow, you know, this would be great to have some Brazilian drums or something like that in here?
Well, it's certainly both. I mean, you know, it starts, I guess, with the overall vision, but I definitely can't take all the credit there. Those guys, I mean, the mandolin and fiddle player, for example, they are both from North Carolina, so they come from a bluegrass and Appalachian upbringing, but
okay.
Then they've just taken it all over the place. Those guys are both in a band now called the Boston Boys that's actually come to Winsboro with me before.
Oh, wow.
Last time, and they play a lot of rock and they play some jazz, too, and they're kind of all over the place. And yeah, I mean, part of the inspiration for bringing guys like that and the Brazilian percussion and everything onto the project is that I was inkling for those kind of influences. So yeah, it's all kind of a mixture, but I'm really super grateful to get to have players like that on there.
Now, it struck me that in this one particular album that I was looking inside, it listed both fiddle and violin, which I'm pretty sure those are the same instrument, aren't they?
Yeah.
I know. That's an old joke. Kind
yeah. Yeah. Played differently. I don't know if I can get into the intricacies as much, but the fiddle, I guess, Appalachian and bluegrassy stuff. And then, you know, the violin, I guess, which accompanies the cello on that track, certainly.
Right.
Would be maybe a more fitting title, but yeah.
I wanted to spin another cut by our guest Emily Elbert. This is from the record Alive in Love. Tell me about the tune Dialed In and Opened Up, if you will.
That's a tune that, you know, influenced by a lot of reading and a lot of thinking about how to, you know, now we tend to be so distracted, and I mean, there's so much kind of demanding our attention at any given moment that
yes,
it's so valuable to, you know, it, obviously it's an ongoing work in progress, but to really hone in and be present and aware and positive and grateful. And so that's a tune about that about that concept and about that effort.
Here's Dialed In and Opened Up, and stay tuned for a little bit more discussion with Texas' own Emily Elbert coming up on 88.9 KETR. This is Notably Texan.
I keep daydreaming, can't stop thinking, can't slip out of my head for a second and just be away in the present, but just for a second. How can I keep from sitting down and murky? See?
So, Emily, you're playing again this weekend in Winnsboro at Crossroads Music Company. You must enjoy playing over there.
I really do, Matt, and it's my family is from East Texas. My grandmothers actually both live in Tyler.
Oh, okay.
And so I always, my parents both are from Tyler as well, and I always really feel, really kind of a good sense of peace. I feel pretty strong root in that part of the state and that
sure.
part of the country. And so I love coming back to Winnsboro, and the people are just so warm and genuine, and it's always a really great time. So I'm really looking forward to it.
Nice.
Looking forward to seeing some familiar faces and some new ones. And I love the hang.
Absolutely. And so I assume you start to kind of feel more at home when you start to cross into the Piney Woods portion of East Texas out
oh,
there.
Oh, huh? Yeah, totally.
Now, I saw that you've got another local artist that's opening up for you over there in Winnsboro. This guy, I believe, is from Dallas, Nicholas Altobelli.
Yeah. Actually, I haven't heard Nick yet, but I'm really looking forward to hearing him.
Very cool. Yeah, I've got a couple of cuts from him here in our Texas Music Library, so
cool.
I was happy to see that you're in good company there.
Yeah, I'm excited about that.
Well, I'm sure that you've got some things cooking right now. What sorts of projects are in the works for you? I think you're working on your fourth record, right?
I am, yeah. That'll probably come out in July, but it's a record of acoustic covers.
Nice.
I really love doing, especially like classic soul and rock and pop tunes, so I got some Willie Nelson, got some Al Green, Marvin Gaye, Allman Brothers, all kinds of good stuff. And
very cool.
So that'll be coming out this summer, and that's acoustic solos and duets.
That's going to be right at home for a lot of folks that have followed you online. I know that you've got quite a following on some of your YouTube recordings where you've covered some recognizable music that people like to go and listen to. So that's great.
I'm excited to share that.
What else have you got going on?
Well, I just returned from a 6-week Southeast Asian tour, so I'm getting my land legs back.
Okay.
but hitting the ground running. After the string of Texas shows, I'm doing a couple of weeks in California, and then I'll return to the Northeast, and then go to the Midwest for my first run out there.
Wow, you never stop, do you?
Not too much.
I'm such a homebody. I can't imagine being, just so far from home all the time for you. But you obviously love it.
Try and take a little bit of home with me wherever I go.
Yeah, fair enough. You've described yourself as kind of a gypsy nomad these days, so home is where you are, right?
that's true.
Well, anything else going on that you wanted to talk about while we've got the opportunity tonight?
I'm really looking forward to coming back. Back to East Texas, I love playing at Crossroads, guests have done such great things with that place, and it'll be fun. My dad is actually going to be playing with me at this show.
Oh, yeah. How exciting is that for you?
Yeah, I'm really excited. This will be one of our first, real, kind of duo shows. We'll be doing a lot of the show together, and he's a great pianist who grew up in Tyler, and so that'll be something new and fun.
And that's kind of a rarity, obviously.
Yeah.
Awesome.
This is kind of a special night. We haven't gotten to do this very much.
You can share a special moment with the Elberts. Maybe they should have billed it as that. So you're going to be playing over in Winnsboro at 7:30 concert. The doors open at 7 at Crossroads Music Company. And folks can find out more about that gig at crossroadsmusiccompany.com. Emily, this has really been a treat. I've been looking forward to talking to you for some time. So thank you so much for devoting some time to us here tonight on Notably Texan.
Thanks so much for having me, Matt. It's a real pleasure.
Hey, and stay in touch with us. I'd really love to talk to you again when this new album comes out.
Absolutely. I will. I'll be right in you. I'm glad to come back to East Texas. So thanks a lot.
Before we're done tonight, here's music from Emily's 2011 Alive in Love album called Seeds, followed by Not a Fool from her Proof release. This is Notably Texan on 88.9 KETR.
Anything was your fault.
Notably Texan interviews and other broadcasts on KETR are made possible thanks to donations from generous folks just like you. If you'd like us to continue to bring you interviews with Texas artists like you just heard, please back our efforts with the gift of your donation. Visit KETR.org, click Support This Station in the upper right-hand corner, and make a pledge. This has been a production of 88.9 KETR. I'm Matt Minke. Thanks for listening to Notably Texan.